Scott was the one who introduced us to this song, and it's become one of my favorites. I just, especially in this church, when you look around at these beautiful stained glass windows that we have, and the beauty of that, when you just look at all the art that goes into making that, and then we sing, like a stained glass window, I want to make your love shine through and your light shine through. And sometimes we've seen it. They broke those two windows in the back being naughty. They're broken. But they can be put together and they can be beautiful again. And that's us. Sometimes these old stained glass windows get a little messed up. Thank you that we have an amazing Creator God who made me with his own hands. And he takes those little broken pieces and he puts them together. And boy, look at that. Look how beautiful they are. Favorite song. Father, thank you. Thank you that in our incompleteness and in our brokenness, you, Lord, are holy. You, Lord, are perfect because you are our God. And thank you that we are in your hand. And in your hand, Lord, we're so safe because you take care of us. You heal us. You hold us. You mend us. You walk with us. You smile. You laugh. Thank you. Thank you for your word, this beautiful story that kind of puts a big smile on your face when you read it. Bless our time. In Jesus' name. Amen. This one is one of my favorite passages in the Bible, but I'm not sure it'll work at the funeral, Alexander. So remember this one, but I'm not sure that you should add this to my little list that you have. I don't know how many you have in there, but it's going to keep you busy. It's going to keep you busy. You'll remember me forever. John 21, one of my favorite passages ever in the Bible. Not going to read the whole passage. Usually I do. I just love it. If you love the narrative and if you know how a narrative works, this is the most beautiful example of a narrative of how it kind of starts with some information and then it builds the story to get to that climax, and it hits that climax and then it brings it down and says, did you see what it was? It's the way that it's just put together, something else. But I'm just going to do the climax bit for you. Start with verse 15. So, they were out fishing, messed it up, shouldn't be out there, didn't catch fish. Jesus is on the shore. He says, catch fish. They catch fish, and now they're on their way. Verse 14 says this was the third time that Jesus appeared to them after he had been risen from the dead. Verse 15, when they'd finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Pointing to the other disciples. Yes, Lord, he said, you know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my lambs. Again, Jesus said, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He answered, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus said, take care of my sheep. The third time he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, do you love me? He said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my sheep. Very truly, I tell you, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you're old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go. Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. And then he said to him, follow me. Interesting man, this man called Peter. And I said to Peter this morning, I'm preaching about you. He said, really? He said, no, we'll do your brother in the Bible. Interesting man, sometimes a little odd, sometimes a little strange. You know that he suffered from an illness, right? Peter, Simon Peter, was called foot and mouth disease. Boy, he was good at that. So what we're going to do, I want you to walk with me a little bit through a few of these moments in his life and then take you right back to this moment. life-changing moment in Peter's life. Matthew 16, they're in the vicinity of a place called Caesarea Philippi. Those of you who went to Israel with me or have been there will know Caesarea Philippi is more to the north. It's one of the sources of the Jordan River. Caesarea Philippi is the area in which the pagan god Pan had his area. There's a whole cave for him, the entrance to go into whatever. And around that area, there's many other statues of all kinds of other pagan gods. So Jesus, walking with the disciples through this area in Caesarea Philippi, he asks him, so who do the people say I am? Do they say I'm one of these? Peter pipes up as usual. Oh, I know. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus says, that's wonderful, Peter. It's a good thing that God told you that because you don't know that by yourself. And as he says that, he says, but I need to tell you what's going to happen. I'm going to go to Jerusalem, and in Jerusalem, they're going to take me, and they're going to nail me to a cross, and I'm going to die. Peter says, come here. Don't you be talking nonsense like that. You stay with us. You got work to do. You got to take care of those Romans. You got to take care of us. Not this nonsense of dying and all kinds of stuff like that. Just to hear Jesus say, get behind me, Satan. From the, oh, I know it, to the, there goes the foot and mouth. Mark chapter 14, not too many days after this, they're in the upper room, they eat the Last Supper, and then Jesus says, listen, got to tell you, they're going to take me, and they're going to take me prisoner, and all of you are going to run away like sheep. When the shepherd was taken away, you're going to run. Peter says, verse 29 in Mark 14, I'll never do that. Jesus says, Peter, take it slow. It's going to happen. Verse 31, if all of them do that, I will never do that. He falls asleep, wakes up, ready to fight a whole bunch of people, just in the next minute to stand in the courts of the high priest and say, I don't know that Mianis. I really don't know. Three times. Rooster crows. Peter struggled with a little bit of a thing that sometimes I think we all struggle, and I struggle. Sometimes to take the words and to put the words into action, to walk the talk. And I'll tell you why. Not because you don't want to, not because I don't want to, because often make the mistake that I think I can do it in my own strength. And I can do it. And I will do it, and then I fail, because I can't. In my own strength, I can't do what God wants me to do. In my own strength, I can't be what God wants me to be, because my old nature is the thing that takes over and messes me up, and my old stained glass window is messed up. That was Peter. Peter had a remedy for that, though. Peter was always trying to. And you saw the sermon title, and it's not Neil Sedaka's Making Up Is Hard to Do. His was Breaking Up Is Hard to Do. Making Up Is Hard to Do. He tried to make up. He always tried to compensate. When he messes up in Caesarea Philippi, and he hears the get behind me, Satan, the next thing he's with Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration, and there's Moses and Elijah. What does Peter say? Let me make up, Lord. I'm going to build three huts. One for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah. You can have a good time on the mount. Oh, Peter, please. Because that's just Peter making up, compensating for the mess that he makes. Falls asleep in the garden when Jesus says, Peter, can you just stay awake with me for an hour? He doesn't. So when he wakes up and he sees the people, what does he do? He makes up immediately, swords out, cuts off poor old Malchus's eye, and Jesus has to fix Peter's mistake again. That's what he did. He always tried to compensate, make up. Does that sound familiar? Anyone been there? Everyone done that like me? Kind of thinking, I need to do this, I need to fix this? Doesn't work that well, does it? So let me take you back to the story. see what Jesus does about that when we do this. So, they're out on the boats, they're fishing. Number one, they should not have been fishing. Why? It wasn't their job anymore. Didn't Jesus say, I'm going to make you fishers of people? Right? All of a sudden, they're out. Well, Jesus is gone, because remember, he died. He appeared to them in the upper room, gone. Appeared, gone. Well, he's gone. To Thomas, gone. So here we are. Let's go fish. Yeah, let's go fish. Back to the old things. Sound familiar? Sometimes we just get off that road and we feel like, even when I don't feel it, you're working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. And then we think, oh, he's not working. And then I go working and I go jump in the boats again and I go do the stuff that I shouldn't be doing. So they mess it up. There's no fish. That'll teach them a lesson. No fish. Morning comes. Jesus is standing on the shore. This is the third time now. Upper room, Thomas, third time. He says, well, put the nets out. They put the nets out. They catch 153 fish. John says to Peter, hey, I think it's Jesus out there. Peter jumps out of that boat, grabs his outer coat, jumps out of the boat 100 yards. I don't know whether this time he walked on the water or swam. I don't know. But he just got out there because he had to get to Jesus. Why? Do you think that maybe he needed to compensate again? Maybe he needed to make up again. Because that third one that he did when he stood there and said to this young woman three times, I don't know this man. I don't know who you're talking. And then cussed the third time and said, leave me alone. I don't know who this man is. Do you think that maybe he needed to go say to Jesus, sorry, Jesus, I messed up a little bit. How can I fix this? I have an idea. That's why he was out of there to do that. Problem is, he didn't get a chance. Before he got the chance, all the other disciples were right there with the boats, and he stuck. Didn't get a chance. That's so Peter, wanting to make up, wanting to compensate, and we fall in that trap. I know that. I've done that. It doesn't work. It never works. Because here's the thing. God does not want us to try and compensate. Does not want us to do restitution or whatever the big words are that I don't even know. To try and fix it ourselves. All God wants is for me to come back and to say, Lord, take my hand. I can't do this alone. Every time I do this alone, all my life looks like is fall, get up, fall, get up, fall, get up, fall, get up. I never grow. I never walk. I never become stronger. Will you take my hand and help me and guide me and teach me so that I may grow and become stronger in my faith? Does that make sense? Trying to fix it, trying to compensate doesn't help. Coming and saying, here I am, I'm broken, I'm sorry, I couldn't do it. Help me, Lord. Like a little baby. If you just think of a baby, little babies, they crawl. And then they try and walk. They try and get up on the side of the coffee table. And then they'll get that. And then they'll fall, but they'll hold again. And then they'll take your fingers and they'll walk with you. And then they learn to walk. But they don't fall. Peter was fall. The only way we become stronger in our faith and faith walk is if we can say, Jesus, I can't do this. I'm trying to walk on my own and I'm not ready yet. Will you hold my hand and walk me? And walk me, and walk me until I've grown so much in my faith that I can walk. That's what he wants. That's what he asks. Is it easy? Morning, Peggy. Can help so many beggars. You should have preached. Why are you not preaching? Is it easy to do that walk? Is it easy to walk with him and be with him? No. It's really hard. Luke chapter 14. Jesus, if anyone wants to be my disciple, they cannot be my disciple. See, that was a little negative in there. Unless you turn your back on your mother and your father, your brother and your sister, your wife and your children, even your own life. If you are not prepared to take your cross and walk in my footsteps, you cannot be my disciple. You tell me how I do that if I cannot walk with Jesus. I can't do that. I can't be that disciple. I am going to fall every time as I get up. I'm going to fall again because I cannot do that. The only way I can do that is if I can say, Jesus, I want to do that. Can I hold your hand? Will you walk with me? When the days come when I feel I can't carry on, will you please carry me? Please, I can't. I need you. I need to be there with you. Not in my own strength, because my strength is worthless, but in your hands, our weakness becomes your strength. You don't have to make up. You don't have to compensate. You just have to say, help me. Please take my hand. Let's finish the story. Peter doesn't get a chance to do what he wants to do, so he runs and he gets the fish and he puts the fish on and he's running around and Jesus does nothing, says nothing. Once he settled down and he sits, that's when Jesus starts. So, Peter, how are you doing? Can I ask you something? Do you love me, Peter? Then he puts a little thing behind there. More than these? Remember what he said in Mark 14? Even if all of them will leave you, I will never do that. Okay, Peter, let's talk about this. There's a bunch of you sitting here. Do you love me more than they do? For the first time, he doesn't have much to say. Yes, Lord, you know I love you. Okay. And I'm thinking, he's thinking in his head, didn't you see how I was trying to make up? I got the fish. I pulled the nets with 153 fish. I put them all on you. We got the breakfast ready. Didn't you see that? Didn't you see me come running at you? And all he says is, I love you. Okay. 3 times he asks him that. 2nd time he takes away the more than these. Do you love me? Takes that away. And then the third time, that's the moment Peter breaks down and he gets it. Did you see the answer? It wasn't just, yes, I love you. Yes, I love you. Lord, you know everything. That's what he wants. Lord, you know everything. You know about the mess in the court of the high priest. You know about the times that I tried to do it on my own. You know about the moments when I thought that I could do it and I couldn't do it. Lord, you know I want to be the Peter, but I am not the rock that you want to build your church on, because this rock looks like a little pebble right now and I messed it up completely. Lord, you know it all. Why does Jesus do that? Because he wants to say, good for you, Peter, I got you. No. Because he loves him. Because he wants Peter to say, can I give you all of this junk? And will you take that? Because I can't carry it. Because when we carry all that junk on ourselves, it becomes a burden. It becomes a burden. And I can't walk. It's way too much. I can't walk. But when I can say, Jesus, I can't do this alone. I really love you. But I messed it up. Can I give it to you? Takes it away. Takes it away completely. I don't have to do it on my own. I can't. And I don't want to. But this is really cool part in this story. If you know the Greek and you read the Greek, where's Daryl? I saw him. You'll know the Greek there. You know the Greek too. When Jesus asks us, he plays with the words a little bit. When he says, do you love me, he uses the Greek word agape, agapasme. And Peter answers, yes, I phileo you. 2 different words. The agape is a all-encompassing love. We usually use that for God. But it's more than that. It's a love that just takes over and just gives freely and holds freely. Peter just says, I like you. Phileo, you know the word phileo. Philanthropy. Phileo means love, and anthropos means people, loving people. You know it. So he says, yeah, I like you. Jesus asks him again, do you love me? And he uses that big agape word again. And Peter says, yeah, I like you. And the third time, Jesus just changes it up a little bit. And he says, do you phileo me? He doesn't use the agape. And Peter says, yes, I do. When he uses that word, he says this, Peter, do you think that you could love me the way that I love you? And Peter says, I really like you. Peter, do you think you can love me the way that I love you? And Peter says, I like you. Jesus says, hey, Peter, are you my friend? Will you be there for me? Will you walk with me? And then Peter cries, are you my friend? Will you just walk with me and share my life? That's what Jesus asks. Doesn't ask us to do something that we can't. Will you be my friend? There's an old story that I told. Maybe I can tell it again. So just imaginary story. I die, which I'm going to do one day. And I die, go to heaven. Get to heaven, and I look around. It's like, holy smokes, this is something else. Whoa. And then I walk in, and there's someone sitting on a throne. Oh, that must be God. And there's someone standing next to him. And then God says, you're Aubrey, right? Yes. Jesus, do you know Aubrey? Jesus looks at me. No, Father, I don't know him. It's like, whoa, Jesus, you should know me. Remember, my dad was an elder. And Mom, she works for the ladies, and she did some coffee stuff. And my sister, she was a Sunday school teacher. You should know me, Lord. Jesus says, Father, I don't know him. Never walked with me, and he wasn't my friend. Or, stop the story, let's go back. I die, get to heaven. It's like, holy macaroni, I couldn't wait for this. Just look at this. John, you had no idea what you were writing. This is far better than that. Whoa! Oh, there's God. Hello, Jesus. Hi, Jesus. Jesus looks down at me, big smile. Father says, you're Aubrey, right? Says, yeah. Jesus, do you know Aubrey? Jesus comes down. He puts his arms around me and he gives me a huge hug. He says, yes, Father, I know him. He's my friend. Can I tell you something about him? He messed up. My goodness, could he mess up? He had his face in the mud more than he could walk. But he never let go of my hand. And he walked with me, Father. And he knew that he couldn't do it on his own. And that's why Buddy Boy is standing here today. Yes, Father, I know Aubrey. He's my friend. And my dad looks at me and he says, welcome, good and faithful, struggling, messed up little servant. I'm so glad to see you because you walked with my son. Come on in. Welcome in the house of your father. That's what he did. I'm so glad he organized this moment for me. Because he didn't look at Peter to say, gotcha, I'm done with you, I'm walking away. He comes to Peter because he says, I love you, and I want to hold you. And despite the messes, Peter, come here. Let me just hold. Thank you, Jesus, for doing that for me. Because that makes me smile. Makes me realize I'm okay, even when I'm full of broken pieces. But there's a last little, you know, the sting is always in the tail, right? Right at the end, he says, so all of this is there, Peter, going to give it to you. But here's what needs to happen. Follow me. And you heard what he said in Luke. You want to be my disciple? You want to follow me? Lots of difficult things that will wait. It's not always easy. But here's the kicker. You don't do it alone. You got all of them. And the most important, the one who comes look you up. Even when you're running around fishing when you shouldn't be fishing. He's going to look you up. And he's going to say, hey Lou, are you my friend? I love you, buddy. He's going to walk with you. Amen. Take a few moments of silent prayer. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for who you are. Thank you for walking in our lives and not giving up when we mess up. For not walking away when we are wayward and walk the wrong way. But always looking. Always there for us. And the way in which you do that, Lord, we can often be so hard on each other, hard on ourselves. But you do it so gentle and so kind. Instead of saying, I told you so, you just say, I love you. And you guide us to the point where we can say, you know it all, but you know that I love you. Thank you that we love you because of you. Because of your spirit that is in us. We glorify your holy name, Lord, as we pray in Jesus. Amen. It is our privilege to give of our gift to the Lord. So we got a really excited little girl. She's going to be coming in a little bit. Little Kira came up to us last week. We were standing up here, and she, it's so sweet. And she comes up, and in her language, she says, I want us to sing this song. And we're saying, what's this? And Allison says, that means my lighthouse. And we're going to sing it. This morning, she saw me. She came running straight at me, and she says, we're going to sing my lighthouse. So we're going to sing my lighthouse, and we're going to have a lot of fun. And it's all because Kira said, can we do that? This is the kind of church we are. We listen to our kids when they ask us to do good things. So we're going to sing after we take up the offering. We're still going to take up a little offering, and then we're going to sing. We'll get them time to get ready. You better rock and roll it.